Shalom, shalom, shalom to the beautiful bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you and happy new year to you. It's good to be back again. We went on a break and we are back and better, ready to serve the bride of Christ around the world this new year. It's a year of fulfillment and we trust that the Lord will fulfill all his promises to you in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us on the Bride TV, a timely technology for a time like this, established by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to meet the need of his bride in this generation. And this is your favorite program on the Bride TV, Ask the Pastor, where you get to send your questions or call us, and the pastor, the overseer of the church himself, is here to answer you all those questions. Ask the Pastor. It's a moment of fellowship. So we always say, call us or send your questions. Let's have fellowship. Talk to us in real time. This is an opportunity for you to ask the pastor questions that concern your spiritual life, questions pertaining to anything in Christendom. So please feel free, ask the pastor. It's a live counseling session. So please ask the pastor. Don't forget, it's not ask the prophet, it's ask the pastor. So we don't want you to be sending questions about, pastor, I had this dream, I had that dream. Except that dream speaks of salvation, but we want to stay with the Bible. So ask the pastor biblical questions. So it's another moment to ask the pastor. And the pastor remains the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, our wonderful, beloved, and loving pastor, who would be a year older this Saturday. So that none else but Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. It's always my pleasure and get very excited to be with you. Using this timely technology we call the Bride Television. It's timely because this is a time for God to round up his redemption process. That is why we call it the end time. End time of God's program. End time of God's agenda for the redemption of mankind. And we are happy that he has made it possible for us to reach you in your bedrooms, reach you in your sitting room, reach you on the go, and reach you even in your offices.
Amen.
That's why we call it a timely technology.
Amen.
Yes, may I also say Happy New Year. I have a friend who says, he doesn't say Happy New Year, he says Happy Good Year.
Happy Good
Year. So I like that greeting.
Amen.
So to the Bride of Christ, Happy Good Year.
Amen.
And we are back. We took a break to rest a little bit, and we are back fully.
Amen.
Commencing all our weekly television programs as God will permit us.
Amen.
And we pray that as we come on air, every one of us will be blessed.
Amen.
Today is Ask the Pastor. And you are not asking me because I know everything, but I will answer you by the grace he has given me.
Hallelujah.
I will answer you. And if you think you know better than the answer I have given, feel free to call in and then educate us or add more to what we know. We will love it.
Amen.
But remember, let it be scriptural and not human ideas, you know.
Amen.
That can generate unnecessary arguments.
That's right.
We are not here to argue. We are here to help each other make our eternal destination easier, more understandable too. And so I pray that as many of you that will be partaker of this program today,
Amen.
The Lord will bless you all in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. May the Lord open your eyes of understanding.
Amen.
May his grace flow to you also.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May all the questions of your heart be answered today.
Amen.
And may you find fulfillment because Amen. You are part of this program today.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Okay, and we also want to use this opportunity before we start taking our questions to thank all sponsors of Bride TV. You did it last year, and through your offerings, you were able to stay on air all through last year, the 365 days of the year. We did not go off air for any moment, for any reason. We want to say thank you. And this is another year. Don't forget, we keep walking till Jesus comes. So please don't be discouraged. Continue to support and sponsor the Bride TV. Nobody is using your money to build any personal empire in this ministry. All is used to serve the Lord. So please, we are still depending on you. All the Lord is still depending on you for this year 2021. God bless you. I have the honor of asking the first question today, and that's based on an exhortation the pastor gave recently, which really blessed a lot of people. So you were speaking about prayers, and in fact, it was funny. Contrary to what we see in Christendom today, where people, in your words, fight instead of pray. And you made prayer look so easy and simple. In fact, as you were speaking, I was just saying in my mind, God in simplicity. You know, today we take pride in every spiritual activity we do. I've prayed for 5 hours, I've charged myself. But you made it look simple. And you also said something about kneeling down. That was why I got a little bit worried. Now, because I remember in Mark 11:25, the Lord Jesus said, "And when ye stand praying, we emphasize that day you spoke about kneeling down. So I don't know. Can you help me balance it, sir?
We see what the restoration ministry has come to do is to make us understand how to approach God.
Amen.
In service, in worship, in fellowship, and in prayers. And that's all we try to achieve. You see, we are under grace. And under grace, you have nothing to boast of as a reason of your relationship with God. That is what grace has come to.
Under grace, you have nothing to boast of.
Yes, you have nothing to boast of. Because you are not blessed because you are not blessed because you don't commit sin. You don't lie. You don't fornicate. You don't. It's more than that. You are not blessed because the weapon of the enemy fashioned against you don't prosper. The enemies don't attack you. Witches don't attack you because you pray so much. You are not prospering financially just because you are paying your tithe regularly. You see, now if grace brings any of your ability in, then it is no longer grace, because grace is divine enablement.
Amen and amen.
It's a divine enablement, because man has no ability to do anything, to receive anything from God. So when you see that, when you understand grace, therefore, your approach to God goes with the humility. Now, the action of kneeling down to pray is a demonstration of humility. Now, we all know the lords, physical lords, the kings, and the lords, you know, a lord is one who has all authority over you. And when you go, and even some cultures, like in this part of the world, in Africa, you know, generally, we give a lot of respect to the elders in age.
That's right.
And those that rule over us. When you approach them, there is a physical posture that demonstrates that you honor them, you respect them, that you recognize their lordship. You know, and it's a different posture when you meet your mate and you're talking.
That's true.
So that is what I try to bring out. Now, what the Bible says, when ye stand praying, now depending, I know there are different postures for prayer. Let me put it that way. You know, for prayers. Now, listen. When you say pray, prayer is different from exercise of faith. Exercise of faith can be under any posture, the posture that goes with the gesticulations, that goes with the kind of authority you are exercising when you are speaking. That is faith, but prayer is asking a higher authority. Asking a higher authority to intervene on your matter, on your behalf. So what that scripture says, when you stand praying, it says forgive. Now, the usage, the context of that word stand there, is not talking about standing with leg. It's just another language we say, when you approach God in prayers.
We're in the place of prayer.
Or you are in a place of prayer. That's what it means. If not, how will you explain this scripture? Hebrews chapter 12, where you see the effect of chastening by the Lord. And then he ended up in verse 12, because the effect of chastening, maybe from verse 11, the effect of being chastened by God.
Hebrews 11 from verse 11.
Yes.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which exercise thereby.
The chastening, yes, chastening by God.
That's right.
That is in a relationship of father-son relationship. Whom God loves, he chastens. Now, when you are in problem with God, he knows how to whip you.
Yes, sir.
And Apostle Paul here is encouraging the brethren who, out of frustration they got, they have stopped praying. They have stopped, you know, worshiping God. So he now put it this way. He's encouraging the now, verse 11 again.
Okay, now, no chastening for the present.
We're reading Hebrews 12.
From verse 11,
yes.
Now, no chastening for the present seem meant to be joyous.
It's always very uncomfortable, but grievous. What is the result?
Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
It produces righteousness.
Unto them which are exercised thereby.
Knowing how to walk acceptably by God. Then verse 12 is my emphasis.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
Now. When is the hand hanged down?
When it chastens you.
What does it mean by hands? You know, it's worship.
Worship, yes.
It's talking of worship. Okay, and what?
And the feeble knees.
What is feeble knee? It's time of prayer. You know, it's that is the language used to portray worship and prayer. And what?
And make straight paths for your feet.
Thank you very much. So when you read it in the form it is presented, in an allegory or symbolic way of presentation, then you now understand when he says, when you stand praying, you know, it's not telling you stand like a soldier and pray. No, it's when you come before the Lord in prayer. That's what it means.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Shalom, Pastor Moses. I just want to ask this question because you are being confused now and I need the direction about the issue of vaccination for COVID-19. Should we go ahead and take the vaccine? Brother Derek from Zambia.
COVID-19 vaccine. This is my position, and many of you, even including you, Olumide, may not agree. The question is this: is there a virus now that has created a pandemic problem worldwide, killing people?
Yes.
Yes. Is there a cure for it? No. A disease that has been, a sickness that has been identified, confirmed, and is killing the people, whatever is the cause, it is killing the people, and there is no cure. Medical science created vaccine for such sicknesses to deter it. In the absence of any other form of deterrent, no cure, why will you not take the vaccine? It's created by this. The same people that created the disease, they have created the antidote. The same people, have you not seen the computer? They say there is a virus. They were testing it. They were testing it with computer. The same people will create a virus, throw it into the internet system, attacks your documents in your computer. The same people again will bring antivirus, all to make money. That is how evil men can go. That is how far men can go to make money. In Africa here, we have stories of people using human beings for ritual to make money. So our own is crude. In the advanced world, they do brain and they throw it there. It's the same spirit. Now, so what we are saying here is that whatever propaganda that is going on, yes, remember that capitalism, whatever it is, all inventions, everything scientific, whatever invention has always been problem identified, exploited to make money. Mm. Always. Show me any technology, it's to solve a problem.
That's right.
Yes, and in inventing that technology to solve that problem, some people become billionaires and multimillionaires. And so here is a problem, and the pharmaceutical industry, the scientific vaccine producers, they have seen opportunity to make money, because the whole thing is about money making. That's the way I see it. Now, it has fallen on us. Whatever it is, brethren, take the vaccine to save your life. And to start with, we know better that this vaccine has nothing to do with the 666 Antichrist revealed spoken of, prophesied in the Bible. Forget it, has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
We know better.
Amen.
You know, among the things that will take place, virus. This virus will only come after after the rapture, when we are gone. And that is when the trumpet angels will begin to sound, the seven trumpets and angels, and then the seven vile angels. Description of what we see is not what you are saying in COVID-19. What the Bible describes will happen. Kuro, you will see human beings in life and no cure for it. No vaccine will come for it. Because the people even making the vaccine, there will be too much trouble with what is happening around it. They will even think of it, will shake the whole world. But that takes place when God has harvested his own from the earth. And take note that we are getting to a stage now where if you don't have the vaccination certificate, you will not be able to travel. You'll be able to leave your country. You won't even be able to leave one town for another town. Very soon, there will be roadblocks to check it. Because it is now reaching community transmission. So they will do everything to prevent people being contracted. But to ask my opinion again, if I know there's anywhere I will take that vaccine, I will go and take it. That's nothing to do with my salvation. It is for my health. Amen. They created it and they have brought the solution. You better go and take it to save your life. God bless you.
This is a art saying. Who can hear this? Well, we have so many things, so many information being shared on the social media about this whole COVID-19 issue. And in fact, it's funny that some members of our church, both locally and internationally, are also sharing this.
You see, if you are not focused with the gospel, the propaganda they put, you know, the theory they compound, you know, it's very convincing.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's very, very convincing. But when we look at the scriptures, those of us, you know, that we understand what is going on, we know that the world will go worse and worse and worse. This COVID-19 is just testing. It will reach a stage where God will say, it don't do. But quickly before he will now judge the earth, because they are going to, you see, the judgment that is going to come upon the earth is not just judgment that they refuse Christ.
Mm.
The world is going to reach the stage as it was in the days of Noah. What were they doing in the days of Noah? Their technology reached cloning, where they were now going to now disturb, you know, the natural creation and pervert it and turn it to what it was until, you know, man's wickedness and the evil escalated to a level that God could say, if I wait any longer, the whole of this creation will scatter. We have to halt it. And it swept all of them. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. This Son of Man being revealed is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ. And he will soon come.
Amen.
So we know better. Mm. If there is a sickness moving around and the scientific world tells you this is the prevention, then you better go take the prevention.
Okay.
And I'm just telling you, Bride of Christ worldwide, listen to me.
Amen.
I am not sentimental. I am not, I have a responsibility for the people that are following me.
That's right.
And I am telling you, it has nothing to do with the Antichrist, so to say, as written in the Bible. And whatever it is they put inside that vaccine as being propagated, I will take it and I will pray. And I have faith enough to know that it can work for me.
Amen.
I believe that.
Mm.
But I want to be free around. Mm. I want to be free. And if the condition is a vaccination certificate, I will have it. We had this same problem before, yellow fever.
Mm.
One, it was also a pandemic around here, especially in this temperate tropical world. And we saw that the only way was a vaccine.
Then polio.
Polio was a vaccine. Mm. You know, and so you said, but they have not been able to get the vaccine for HIV AIDS. Okay, but to get a prevention for HIV, if it's God that made sure they didn't get the vaccine for HIV AIDS. It's God that made sure they didn't get the vaccine for HIV AIDS, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
At least check that. But has he checked it? It hasn't checked it, you know. And then you realize that why they're not too bothered about that vaccine is that it can be managed.
That's true.
The virus, the HIV, you know, it can be managed. It is when you are careless, it breaks to AIDS.
That's true.
And so it's not too important for them. They won't make too much money there.
Mm.
You know, only fornicators will go for it.
Mm.
So they won't. But when it comes to transmittable diseases, communicable diseases, like this virus and yellow fever and such, you saw that you required a certificate to move around in certain countries. You know, it prospered in the temperate area. So it didn't, at the west there, it wasn't much, you know. And even then, it's created, it's part of the vaccines that when you give birth to a child, so, you know, after some time, you don't need to make noise over it anymore because it's expected that, you know, among the vaccines to be taken as the child is growing up, you know, when I had my own child, you know, up to about 6 different vaccines at different levels, you know, the children have to take. So that takes care of it. It's the same thing with another one, what do you call it? COVID-19. Go and take it. When they come, go and take it. We will not die. It's nothing like that. Stop all that propaganda.
Amen.
You know, if you die, it is something else that was in your body that is reacting with it. But Lord, don't say, you will see die anyway. Something will kill you. God bless you.
Okay, that's it from our pastor. That's giving his own say on COVID-19 vaccinations. So please hold on to his word if indeed he's your shepherd. Watch out for Rapture Watch. I believe we'll have a lot of discussion about these trending issues. So please don't miss Rapture Watch. The Lord bless you. Can we have more questions? Shalom, Brother Moses and Brother Lumide, and to the Bride of Christ worldwide. I have this question that is bothering my mind. It goes like this. A widow with three children, with no job, and have no money to cater for her children. So went to fornicate to get money to cater for her children. Is that woman a caring mother or a prostitute? She is a Christian. Brother Eric Anagbla from Ghana.
No, she's not a Christian. No. Man. No, Christian will break the law of Christ to make ends meet. Our source of income, our source
of living.
Amen. You know, did he call her a widow?
Yes.
Now, our source of living is God.
Hallelujah.
And this is where the church has a role to play. That's the purpose of the tithes we pay.
Amen.
And the offerings we give in the church is to take care of such. She must belong to a church.
Amen.
And the pastor is supposed to identify her and appropriately take care of her.
Amen.
There is a saying that goes, it says, the end does not justify the means.
That's right.
No, it's wrong. Because you are hungry, you are dying, then you go and carry knife and go and rob. You are finished. No, but no law will. If man will not excuse you for robbery because you are hungry, you know. Even within the law in the Old Testament, if you steal, you go to steal because you are hungry, it didn't say it's because you are hungry, go. No, the punishment will be a bit less, considering that it was hunger that pushed you, but you will still pay for it. So you have to understand that.
Amen.
It's wrong. If anybody encouraged that, it's not a Christian doctrine. It's not a Christian practice.
Hallelujah.
At all.
Amen. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. Happy birthday to you, sir. You live long for us. I have three questions. Concerning Shem, the son of Noah, I hear preachers say that it is because God has blessed him, all of them, in Genesis 9 verse 1. That's why Noah couldn't curse him and curse his son, Canaan. Is that right? Okay, let's take the first one. Canaan was not the son of Shem. I have three questions.
That because God blessed who?
Because God blessed Shem. In Genesis 9 verse 1. That's why Noah couldn't curse him and curse his son, Canaan. Okay. Because God blessed all the sons of Noah in Genesis 9:1. Okay, I understand this question now. And God blessed Noah and all his sons. Yes.
Yes.
He said that's why God could not curse Ham. But his question is wrong. It's not Shem, it's Ham. And cursed his son, Canaan, instead of cursing Ham.
Yes. The cursing of a Canaan is actually cursing of the generation
of Ham.
Of Ham.
Amen.
That's what Noah did.
Mm.
So Ham is a generation. In the Bible days, generation means so much. Continuity.
Mm.
You know, it meant so much to the culture.
Mm.
You know, unlike now, everybody lives for himself, does not care because you always believe that you don't know what your children will end up being. So you just do your best for yourself. Now, people don't even bother. People don't even care. But in those days, especially because of God's program, it meant so much to the culture.
Amen.
So he caused Canaan. And remember that it was the land of Canaan that the Shemites were to go to inherit. So that land, I mean, even though you will ask, is God so unrighteous? Why will he go somewhere and drive people away, that the same people he created, and bring another best people and put there? It was the enforcement of the curse that Noah placed it on the generation. Remember that God even visits
his father.
You know, yes. The iniquity of the fathers to the fourth generation.
That's right.
So that was then, but not now again.
Amen.
That is why it is grace.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Okay, let's see his second question. He said he asked three. Okay. Concerning marriage, there are holiness believing churches who don't believe in putting wedding ring. And then they use Bible to join the brother and the sister. I want to ask if that is right.
The ring does not join a brother and a sister. What joined them is the bride price that was paid.
Amen.
That's what makes him
a husband.
The husband. Always take note that it is wrong to swear, hold the Bible and swear by it.
Holiness churches.
Holiness churches don't do that. You know, when they come for marriage blessing.
Amen.
You are now married. You are already married.
When you bride paid, price is the ultimate.
Bride price is what makes that woman be called your wife.
Wow.
When the parent release her to you. But as a tradition of the church, every achievement you make, every endeavor, you put God first.
Amen.
That's what we demonstrate when we come at the altar before the servant of God, wherever, and then he comes and blesses the marriage.
Amen.
And in this part of the blessing, he repeats what God told Adam. Spoke concerning, Christ spoke concerning Adam. And if for this cause shall
man leave father and mother.
Shall man leave father and mother and be clipped to his wife. And what God has joined together.
Amen.
You see it now?
Oh God.
Now, he is not joining them in marriage. He's only reminding them that this thing you have done is instituted by God.
Hallelujah.
And what God himself has instituted, ordained, he said, let no man put asunder. It's a blessing he's pronouncing on you. It's not joining a marriage. I don't know if you're understanding me.
Yes, sir.
That is the marriage blessing. All that you are saying, I will, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for this, you know, exchange of vows. We call it exchange of vows. It's actually wrong. You are swearing. You are taking an oath. And the Bible says we should not do that. Let our yea be yea. Our nay be nay. And if our yea be yea, then let's hear the yea you said. That is the meaning of that. Let's hear the nay you said. What is the yea? I will stay with you till death do us part. That is your yea. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I will hold only to you. It's not swearing. You are only making the people see the effect of that union, of that decision, the consequence of that decision. If not, we shall reduce marriage to a ritual of oath taking and the swearing, which is contrary to the Bible.
So it's like that's what it is already.
It is. Everywhere it has become a tradition, and people will not carry their wives. Some even after three children, the Catholic religion will still come and say, come, you have not done your wedding. Heaven has not recognized you. No. Heaven does not recognize your marriage if you have not paid your bride price.
Sir, thank God you're touching this issue.
Because I have to answer that question.
Okay,
so it is not the ring that weds you. So we don't wed with the ring.
Amen.
The ring is only a symbol. A token that reminds you of the vow you have exchanged with a woman.
Amen.
That lets you know that a bride price has been paid. That is, in fact, it's not even a reminder of the vow, because which vow? We are not supposed to say any vow. You know, it is to remind you that a price has been paid on you. That's it. It's a token. And you too, to remind you that you have a woman you have paid a bride for, bride price for. You know, if not, why do you give the woman? The woman gives you too. To make you remember that I'm part of you.
And anytime you look at it, you remember there's a woman waiting for you somewhere. And anybody that sees that ring also knows that you are married. That's all. Nothing more than that. If you like, use it. If you like, you don't use it. It's not a doctrine. It's not a commandment. Nothing. And so it's not the Bible. If they give you Bible, then you hold it. And that is it's a denominational teaching for doctrine, commandment of men.
Oh.
Nothing.
Wow, revelation is much better than religion. So we have message churches who are against, let's say the
I think parents. There's a call coming in.
Okay. Oh, Brother Paul from Germany. God bless you, sir. You're here. God bless you, Brother Paul. Shalom, sir.
We are more great. I'm very happy for this program. There is something that is bugging me in my mind. I am very happy that there is a live program that we are showing to. Let me ask the man of God.
Yes.
Is God in heaven?
Is God in heaven?
Yes.
Can I also ask you, what do you mean by heaven?
Because in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And people are telling me God is in heaven. God is in heaven.
So okay.
Well, it's a common English that God created heaven and earth. And he was from here.
Okay, let me quickly let you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clear.
Now, the word heaven also means the atmosphere above the earth. The atmosphere above the earth is also called the heavens. Then also, the heaven is also known as God's dwelling place. It's a spiritual realm.
Amen.
So it depends on the usage of that word, the heaven. Yes, God is in heaven, and we are hoping to go to heaven, God's dwelling place. But it's a spiritual realm where God dwells, because he's a spirit.
Okay, that is, before that Genesis 1 verse 1, God was in heaven, and he said heaven and earth again.
Yes, I say God was in heaven, spiritual realm, dwelling place of God. And he created these heavens here. You heard Apostle Paul talking about the third heaven. So you understand that there is the spiritual heaven and there is the physical heaven, that is the atmosphere that is also interpreted as heaven. Are we clear?
Okay.
Thank you.
It's
confusing me somehow. Up to now.
Yes,
God's dwelling place. That is the spiritual realm.
Yes.
The spiritual realm. There is the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, I want to give scripture to this.
Isaiah 63:15.
I think there is Isaiah
63:15.
Isaiah chapter 63. And this is the way, verse 15. Now, see here, the way the prayer goes of the remnant. Verse 15, are you there?
I'm here.
He said, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness. That is where he dwells. It's a spiritual realm because God is a spirit. Now, not the physical. What about 1 Timothy what?
6:16.
Can somebody read it?
Chapter 6, verse 15.
Verse 16.
Yeah.
It's talking about who only had immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What do you pick from there?
What I
Heaven is the throne.
Isaiah 66:1.
You say what? Please again.
So for me, I was thinking this is the place where God dwells before he created heaven and earth.
And that is why I said, it's a spiritual realm. Even in the physical realm, we have many planets. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
And apart from the planets, science has let us know that there are also galaxies. If you understand what the galaxies are, then you will know that the realm where we have all the planets is only just a part of all existence. There are other realms with other things created there that exist in what we call the universe. The universe. Yes, so take note. But I still want to add this to that. You note Isaiah 66 and verse 1.
Isaiah
66 verse 1. It said, thus said the Lord. He said, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, where he says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. So that is where God dwells. And verse 35 says, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool. So, confirming Isaiah 66, verse 1. I hope you understand.
What is that first king take for the
devil? First king? First king 8, verse 47. Yet, if they shall...
27.
Oh, 27.
But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee.
That's right.
How much less this house that I have builded?
Because it's talking about the physical. This great God dwells in the spiritual, so nothing physical can house him.
The dedication
of the house in verse 28, verse 27, he says this, but from verse 27, yeah, he says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth, generally now? Behold, he said, this is the size of God. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. It's talking about the physical atmosphere and everywhere, at wherever you want to reach, because it's a spirit anyway. It's a spirit. So you cannot build a house for him.
Okay, my last question is that.
Yes.
Is tithe a commandment of Jesus Christ?
Tithe.
Is it a commandment of Jesus Christ?
Can I also ask you, how did you know about tithe?
No, I have a question, I want to know.
I'm answering you. For answering my question, then we are discussing. I'm not in a law court.
Many churches that are going to. It's like a law. You must pay your tithe. You don't pay your tithe, you go to heaven. Even you are heavy.
No. Let me understand your question. You asked a question and I was trying to answer your question. You said, is tithe a commandment
of Jesus Christ?
Then I want to understand your own background for the question. That's why I wanted, if you can answer me, I say, how did you know about tithe? Is it through your pastor or in the Bible?
When I go to church, I say this.
So you have never seen it in the Bible?
It's in the Bible.
We are in the Bible. Do you remember? We are tithe was first paid.
We are tithe was first paid.
Yes, in the Bible.
But I believe who first paid the tithe was Abraham.
Fine. Who commanded him to pay?
That I don't know.
You don't know? Then
no.
No, no, no. Maybe you didn't read the story well. Nobody commanded him. It was a revelation he received.
Amen.
And Abraham was not under any law. He was under grace. Correct?
Correct.
Therefore, tithe is payable under grace, under the same revelation that Abraham had.
Certainly.
Okay, tithe is a commandment of Jesus Christ.
I have just told it's a revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Okay,
yes, like Abraham had.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Daddy, if the Lord Jesus is under,
thank you.
If the Lord Jesus is under the priesthood of Melchizedek.
No, I didn't. You see, Brother Paul, if you are still listening to us, you know, I wanted you to note. If you are still listening to us, that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek.
Amen and amen.
Genesis 14.
Yes, sir.
He paid tithe to Melchizedek by revelation. It was Melchizedek did not order him to pay him tithe. Take note of it. Because he was not under the law.
Mm.
No law was given to him. Mm. But there is a law of prosperity.
Hallelujah.
That comes by revelation. Mm. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6,
amen,
we are made to understand that this Christ is also now a high priest. Mm. And he comes not in the order of Aaron, but he comes under the order of
Melchizedek. Amen and amen.
If Christ is the high priest, that, you know, the high priest that comes under the, in the order of Melchizedek, amen, then he also receives tithe.
Amen and amen.
And so when you bring tithe to him, and he is known in the church, his church, that is his church, known as the body of Christ, the spiritual body. So tithe is still a part of the gospel.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It's for your prosperity.
Amen. While you are answering the question on marriage, I said there are some message churches who are against wedding, doing this wedding ceremony in non-message churches.
Wedding ceremony?
Yes. For instance, if the parents of the bride attend a non-message church and then they want their daughter to wed in their own church, so message churches stand against it.
Yeah, because of their understanding of what wedding is all about. You know, it's just one of the errors that frustrate the young couples who come in. Mm. You know, you can't have this revelation I have and go into that. Mm. You know, what makes him, what we must insist to identify with that relationship is that he has paid the bride price.
Mm.
That is what makes him the wife. Nothing
wow.
more.
Hallelujah.
It's not that gown he wears and stands at the altar that makes her his wife. Nothing like that.
Mm.
We know better than that, you know.
We have more questions coming in. Please, Pastor, how can one handle the issue of marriage, especially when one has done all he can to make it work and it is not working? Both pray and it's not working, both pray, etc. Please, when will a believer go for divorce or separate? Should a believer continue suffering in marriage since God said he hates divorce? My name is Ngozi from Anambra State.
That is, you see, if you make this Bible, if you respect the word of God, this Bible instituted marriage. Amen. Therefore, this is the manual to keep that marriage. Mm. You always have problem when you refuse to approach each other's differences from the scriptural point of view. When the husband refuses to take his place, the wife refuses to take her place, as prescribed in the scripture, you always have problem. Mm. Going out is not the solution. The Bible also tells us the condition under which that marriage will fail by way of divorce. But even with those conditions, you have to do all you can to keep it going. There's no problem without solution. If you are sincere and take it before the Lord, He will guide you. So you say even prayer didn't work. What you are saying is that your problem is more than God can handle, because you say even prayer didn't work. Now when you speak like that, then one can imagine, if you won't even wait on God, is it your husband you will wait on? So you have a very fundamental problem, foundational problem of patience and obedience and faith. You need them.
Amen.
God bless you.
I'm always careful about the issues of marriage, and I always advise that those passing through anything like that should call the pastor
personally.
Give him a call, because a question might be more than just, you know, an answer like that. But Chijoke from Ogba in Lagos State is calling us. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. You're on air. Chijoke.
Yes, I'm calling from Ogba, sir.
From Ogba. You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Yes. I want to ask, can we take communion in one, can we do communion in one cup or in the different cup? Because I have many people who have already taken communion, you know, but in the public cup, a single cup. Is it for a single cup or put it in general? Because I read in the book of 1 Corinthians 11. That we take from that he
took the cup, not the cup.
But I want to be
clarified
over the
communion. Brother Chijoke, can I just ask, are you a member of the Brother Assembly Church?
No, this is the CCMI, the Foundation.
Okay, you are not a member of the Brother Assembly Church. I'm talking of this ministry you are watching, the Bride Assembly Church. You are not a member. Okay, I was asking to know why I'm asking to know is because sometimes we approach some of these ordinances from a very legalistic point of view. Now, listen, there were only 12, correct?
That's right.
There were only 12.
Okay.
With Christ Jesus.
Okay.
There were only 12. So they took the cup, you know, and he took the cup and passed it around all of them.
That's right.
Now, there were only 12 of them. Therefore, it was easy to pass one cup round round 12 people.
That's true, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now, here, where after the day of Pentecost, they became 3,000.
Okay.
Now, how will they pass one cup now to 3,000 people to drink? Later on, they became 5,000. How will they pass one cup to 5,000 people?
Okay.
Therefore, it is only normal that with the wisdom of God, we have a general bigger cup where the wine is, and then from that, it is poured to smaller cups and distributed to the people. It is the same thing, sharing from the same one cup. That is how it is done. Hallelujah. I hope that is clear.
Yes,
God bless you.
Okay.
God bless you. We'll take a break.
All right. Thank you, Brother Chijoke. And we're still expecting more callers, expecting more of your questions, and we'll do that. We'll take more after this short break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.